You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, watch this year's NFL Draft with the Cleveland Browns at the official draft night party presented by Bud Light at the Cleveland Public Auditorium on Thursday, April 30th. Doors will open at 6:30 p.m. Don't miss live draft coverage, food and drink specials, player autographs, alumni appearances, and more. Free but limited tickets are available beginning Thursday, April 9th. That's 2 days from now at 11 a.m. on clevelandbrowns.com. So in 2 days, Thursday, April 9th at 11 a.m., you can get your tickets to the Browns' official draft night party. Now, the draft is important. What the Browns seem to be doing to kind of keep themselves trending as a very young team, they're adding veterans in free agencies. Kevin Jones wrote about it, clevelandbrowns.com. Veterans in free agency, they did it last year. They started it with Dante Whitner, Carlos Dansby, Andrew Hawkins. This year again, Tremont Williams, Randy Starks, Josh McCown, Dwayne Bowe. Adding these veterans in free agency to provide kind of that stability, that leadership, that locker room presence while they continue to have this massive influx of young players year after year.
Yeah, and I think there was kind of a misconception that went out there with the Browns signing some of these guys who are 30 years old or more, that the Browns were suddenly becoming a very old team, which just isn't true. I think there's a lot of teams in the league. I think the Bears in general have like 13 or 14 guys who are 30 years or older.
Well, and the Browns still have a young average age, obviously.
Right, yeah. The average age of this roster is about either it's pretty young or it's pretty normal for the NFL. And I think when you add players like this into roles where they're going to be prominent players like a Dwayne Bowe, Brian Hartline, Josh McCown, if he wins the starting quarterback job, you can still be rebuilding your roster while also maintaining kind of that win now attitude. You know, I think that like Carlos Dansby and Whitner were very good at kind of instilling that on the defensive side of the ball. Now with the veterans you've added to the offense, you're going to be hearing more of that, more that goes beyond your Joe Thomas or your John Greco. You're going to have these veteran voices who only have a few years left in their career. And they don't want to be part of a rebuilding project. They want to be part of a team that's contending in the playoffs.
They do, and the Browns players on the Browns roster over 30. When Ray Farmer took over the team, there were four Browns 30 years or older. Willis McGahee, Jason Campbell, DeQuell Jackson, Billy Cundiff. None of them really were making major contributions to this team. DeQuell Jackson, I guess, would have been the biggest. Now you've got McCown. You've got wide receivers Bowe and Hartline. You've got Carlos Dansby, Joe Thomas, John Greco on the offensive line, Randy Starks, Tremont Williams. So you have guys who have all contributed. Now, you still have plenty of young core pieces. Joe Hayden, Tashawn Gibson, Joel Bitonio, Alex Mack is still a young core piece. Your two running backs, Terrence West, Isaiah Crowell. You've got young corners in Gilbert and Dazier and Kaywan Williams. You've got Chris Kirksey, Craig Robertson at the linebacker position. You got John Hughes, Armani Bryant, you've got Billy Wynn. You've got young players on the defensive line, Phil Taylor. So it is a good mix. And remember, you got 10 picks this year. With compensatory picks, you're probably going to have 11 picks next year. So that's 21 picks of guys you're going to be bringing in that are very young over the next two seasons. So it's an opportunity to get your succession plans in place, teach some of these young guys what it means to be professionals in the NFL.
When I was reading this story when Kevin wrote it, the first thing that jumped out to me, I was like, man, Joe Hayden's only 25? How encouraging is that? You know, he's going to be around for so much longer and has so many good years to play, and he's already done so much with the time he's been in the NFL. But yeah, I mean, every spot, I think the goal is to kind of have a mix of everything, you know. And I think when you talked to Ray Farmer at the end of the season, he pointed out that linebacker group where you really did have a mix of everything. You have a young up-and-coming player like Christian Kirksey. You have guys in their prime like a Paul Kruger, and you have an older veteran who brings so much leadership to the group, and Carlos Dansby. I think that might be the goal at every position group on the field, and I think especially on the defense, you have that now. On the defensive line, you added Starks, you added Tremont Williams, but you still have that young talent that's still at those positions.
You do, and that's important. That's the balance. That's the mix that the Browns want to get. And then we were talking earlier about the draft with Dane Brugler, where they're going to look to add in. And you think about the places where they are. That's why I think you're going to see them add an inside linebacker later in this draft as somebody, you know, with Carlos Dansby. I think you're going to see them add a strong safety later in this draft, kind of the succession plan for Dante Whitner. You want to draft the defensive line. They know Randy Starks is not a long-term solution. They, you know, want to draft an edge rusher. You know, Paul Kruger is not necessarily a long-term solution. So I think it's a team that has guys that can play now and has an opportunity to bring guys along the right way, and they're going to be cognizant of that while they continue to shape this roster.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned it too, that's why I think the talk of the offensive line is circulating so much, just because you bring back the exact same offensive line from last year, and I think the chances are, unless you get that guy at 19 that can start right away, that you'll start the exact same offensive line in back-to-back seasons, which
sure
has been hard to do. But again, we saw the drop-off in depth, and I think at least for now, you bring in a guy or two that helps your depth and then also plans for the future if you lose one of those starters in free agency.
I still don't want it to happen in the first round, and maybe that's just me. I don't want it to happen in the first
round. I've talked myself in and out of it a lot.
Oh, I'm out of it.
I'm just back and forth. I'm flip-flopping nonstop, but it just seems – I guess I'm opposed to the idea of it at 12. And now I'm open to it at 19.
Once Dane says, you know, yeah, there are plenty of good interior linemen. You can get third, fourth, fifth round guys that could really contribute to your team. That's why then I just don't see it. I don't see the need to do it that early.
Then I look at what this team has done, though, in the past in the first round when it's an offensive lineman with Alex Mack and Joe Thomas.
Been successful.
It's worked out pretty well.
It has worked out very well. We need that same kind of success at other spots on this team.
Yeah.
That's where we need it. That's where we'd like to see the Browns go. 216-578-0850, or we'll get your tweets as well. Matt Terzik says, Bradford's not a fit here. If the Browns trade Johnny for him, all faith will be lost. Johnny will be good. Just hope it's in Cleveland. I don't know if that's true. I hope it does as well. Somebody say, the Browns need that guy who can stuff the run, collapse the pocket in the middle. Is he in this draft? And I would say the answer, Danny Shelton. That's why you're seeing such a strong link to the Browns and Danny Shelton.
And there are, if Danny Shelton for some reason is not there and the Browns opt to go in a different direction, there are a couple other good defensive tackles there in the first round. And I think the name that was buzzing a lot in February at the Combine was Malcolm Brown.
Malcolm Brown was huge.
Just because it seems like he makes a lot of sense at 19.
Yep.
The worry there, though, would be if he goes a couple picks before that. You can't get him there.
No, and Houston has been a team that has been linked to him as well, kind of getting another player on that D-line that could have him alongside J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, and, of course, they have Vince Wilfork, who they brought in this offseason.
Just a hilarious defensive line if it all pans out. If Clowney comes back and plays the way he's capable of, and Wilfork still has a lot left in the tank. I mean, that's just – the Texans are very interesting to me, by the way.
They could be completely dominant. Yeah, they could be completely dominant on that defensive line. No, I mean, that team has an opportunity to be, yes, outrageously good. I don't think there's any question about that. All right, when you talk about these draft profiles you're doing at WWE.com, you started off with Cooper. When are the people who obviously want to hear about Danny Shelton? Do you have an order that you're rolling these things out?
No, it's kind of stream of consciousness. You know, maybe I think tomorrow we're rolling out L. Collins, the LSU offensive lineman. So
who Dane had the Browns taking at number
19.
So maybe
19. It's kind of sort of alphabetical order because we had Amari Cooper the other day. But no, we're kind of just keeping people on their toes. There's no real rhyme or reason to it. We've got the names listed out. That's step one, and then we're going to tackle them day by day. One a day, I think that'll get us to, I believe, the 25th.
Okay.
And so then that's draft week. We'll be all set.
Forget mock draft. What is your ideal? What would be your top three combination if you could pull it off?
For the
first three picks.
Yeah. I like edge rusher, interior defensive lineman.
I'm saying, who would they be? Who would you go? How would you do it? If 12, 19, 43, your ideal three.
I would go Shelton at 12, Bud Dupree at 19, ideally. And then, again, this is their ideal situation, the Max Williams at 43 in the second.
Okay, round. I would that would be my ideal as well. I'd also take Funchess at 43, or if Rashad Perriman fell down there, I would take him at 43.
Yeah, and
as well.
I know I'm leaving out a wide receiver, but again, it just
– I think we're okay. Yeah, I think this draft is good enough at wide receiver that we can get some. I think that we know that – I think we can get by with Bo Hartline and Hawk. Obviously, it needs to be addressed, but I do think you can do that in the second round, third round. I think you can get good receivers there.
The need is still there, but you've eliminated the need that was there for an immediate impact at that position.
Right.
With having guys that, and again, they're 28, 30, and so you need guys for the future.
Now
you don't need a guy that day one, you don't need that Amari Cooper to step right in and be your leading receiver.
So that's my one bucket. My other bucket would be if I went Devontae Parker 12, hope Shelton falls to me at 19, Malcolm Brown there, and then get my edge rusher at 43.
But who is like a second round edge rusher?
If he said, that, for example, Dane said he thinks Nate Orchard would be there in the third. So let's say you go Devontae Parker at 12. You come back, you get Shelton who falls to 19 or Malcolm Brown there. You go at 43, still Max Williams. So you've gotten your receiver and your tight end. And then you get a Nate Orchard there in the third round.
That's pretty good. I like that. I talked to Nate Orchard actually a couple times at the
Senior
Bowl.
We had him on Browns Daily.
Really like him as a guy. He's fun to talk to. And the production that he had, it was just so impressive that final year at Utah.
Emmett, are you there?
Yes, sir.
What would your ideal draft be for the Browns' first three picks?
Oh, wow. It may not really gain a lot of fanfare, but I would love to see him go probably defensive line, receiver, and maybe linebacker within the first three picks.
What's wrong with that?
I mean, I would love it, but I know how a lot of fans are in Cleveland. They, you know, a defensive lineman in the sexy pick, but I think it would be the smart pick.
You know, so it's interesting that you say that. So the NFL has this kind of like mock draft thing that they're doing via fans, and they're letting each team's fans be the GM, and the Browns fans selected Danny Shelton at number 12.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think that's different than maybe it would have been a month ago, I think, before the wide receiver was addressed in free agency, because everything I heard on Twitter, social media,
used to be all receiver,
But now that's the signings have changed that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the signings have changed it. And also people, I think, are starting to get the sense, and maybe it was Jim O'Neill's interview got people fired up, that this could really be a great defense if it could stop the run and have that guy in the middle that helps them do that.
I mean, just think where this defense would have been last year if it was, say, 16th as stopping the run as opposed to 32nd. Oh. I mean, just how much better that, and I know 16th isn't the ultimate goal for this team's defense against the run, but that would be a vast improvement. And just think how many more, maybe that just you'd be in more games and just really shutting people down. If you maintain, that's the key, maintaining what the Browns did on pass.
Yeah, I think it's just that it would be, you already had one of the best pass defenses in the NFL. If you could stop the run, it also helps your pass. It helps everything. And I think that's what I like what Jim O'Neill said, is that then you earn the right to rush the passer. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's what this team's got to do. This team has got to get in there, and they've got to be able to stop the run, get teams in second and long, third and long. And when you can do that, you have opportunities to rush the passer. You have more opportunities to generate turnovers, and I think the Browns would be in very, very good shape.
I mean, the one game I look back on, even though it was a loss, but it was the game where they're facing the Colts. And the Colts, you know, don't really have a very good running game and really weren't running the ball that successfully against the Browns. But that was the game where they were able to get more pressure on Andrew Luck, hit him pretty hard. He was throwing some interceptions. Again, at the end, it ultimately didn't work out. But that was maybe a game to me where you could see how good this defense could be if they were able to rush the passer more and were stopping the run.
Well, I think we saw it in Atlanta as well. That was the best run defense performance of the season, that game against Atlanta, and then against Buffalo. You had kind of a three-game stretch there. You held them to 63, 106, and 93. That was the best three-game stretch of the season for the Cleveland Browns, and that's when the defense we all thought was kind of playing at its best. And then it followed up 244 against Cincinnati, 209 Carolina, 129 Baltimore. I think being able to stop the run is hugely important. And you look at the games where the Browns did their best job stopping the run. At Cincinnati, big Browns win. At home against Oakland, that was another Browns win. At Atlanta, that was a Browns win. Buffalo and Indy were the two where they stopped the run pretty effectively, but it didn't work out because those were the games where the offense wasn't even getting first downs in the second half of the game. And you remember watching those games saying, if this offense could have done anything, it would have been just fine. But that was not the way that it ended up working out. All right, we're going to be back with our final thoughts. Last chance to chime in, 216-578-0850, or go ahead and hit us up on Twitter, at Nathan Zagura, at Andrew_Gribble, or, of course, at Browns_Daily. All right, wrapping it up right after this.